This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower. Now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Beyond the Beauty is a production of iHeartRadio. I'm your host, Bobby Brown. I really wanted to interview Makeup by Mario because he's a force. He's so different than me, my style, everything. I'm fascinated by his master classes. I'm fascinated by his talent. I'm fascinated by really his story because I've read a lot of stories of where he came from. And I'm fascinated of his incredible rise to the top of this field. We have a mutual friend and she said, dude, you would love him. And you know what? She's right. I love this guy. So Mario is Kim Kardashian's makeup artist. He has done every celebrity from Katy Perry to Jennifer Lopez to Priyanka Chopra. I can go on. He's gotten awards. He is the genius behind Kim's look for every red carpet, every Met Ball. I'm fascinated by the fact that he has 7 million followers and that he still talks to them. People love him. People just love him. And they know him not just from being Kim's makeup artist, but from being on the show. Mario has this incredible network of people that either want to be makeup artists, want to be better makeup artists, and just want a piece of what he's doing. Everyone wants to look better and feel better. When you're a makeup artist, you understand other makeup artists. Here's my conversation with Mario. So I am here today with my, I'm going to say new friend because I've always admired him so much. But first of all, I want to make sure I say the last name correct. So it's Mario. You all know him by Makeup by Mario. His last name is, go ahead, Mario.
No, go ahead. You got to try
one. Okay, all right, I will try one. Dedivanovic.
One more time.
Dedivanovic.
Oh my God, there you
Dedivanovic?
Go. Dedivanovic, yeah.
Dedivanovic. I didn't do it.
Dedivanovic. Still, you know, you did it. You spelled it out.
I don't think anyone ever says that name.
I always just say Makeup by Mario or Mario D. Mario, right. Or just Mario.
Where is that name from?
I am Albanian. Well, I was born in America, but okay. I still consider myself Albanian first because I was raised with the Albanian culture. But my parents are from Montenegro.
Isn't that a beautiful place?
It is a beautiful place, yeah.
Beaches and...
They have beaches from where my dad's side is, like the Adriatic Sea. And then where my mom's from, it's like farm and more farm and country. So it's like the best of both.
Oh, and you grew up where?
In the Bronx.
Okay.
In the Bronx, New York. Uh-huh. And yeah, I'm a Bronx boy. I'm a Bronx cool. Albanian boy.
Cool. And how many siblings do you have?
I'm the youngest of four.
Wow. Yeah. Youngest of four. Okay, so you're the baby. All right, we'll now be calling him Baby Mario.
I was always the baby. Aww. It's so funny. I feel like I'm not anymore, but I was always the baby.
And I know from things I've read, because there's so many awesome articles on you, how close you are to your family.
Yes.
You all work together, right?
Well, not all of us. So my sister Marina, who's right after me, she's the one that's right after me in age. She is sort of the organizer for the master class. So she kind of came in and took over my master classes when it was a very small thing, you know, that I had sort of, I had never allowed anyone into it, and I had never allowed any press or cameras or anything, photographers, videos. I mean, I kept it so sheltered and protected. You know, when I discovered the teaching, it added something so substantial to my life and that I can't even explain. And
how long have you been doing this?
The master classes are going to be 10 years, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how did you even come up with the idea?
What happened was after I started working with Kim
Kardashian, for yes. you guys that have been under a rock. Okay.
Yes. After I met Kim and I started working with her, something sort of naturally happened in that she began to post these photos online behind the scenes, like completely innocent. Like
10 years ago.
Yeah. Or, well, almost 12 years ago. And something happened in that people really resonated with it. And people were so inspired by like her glam and the fact that she was showing all these like cool things, like, you know, the baking and the powder and all those tips and tricks that she loved. She wanted to just genuinely show them because she thought it was so cool.
And was she Kim Kardashian 12 years ago? Like, did
No, not like she is now. She was just, I think when I met her, she was season one of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Okay. I barely knew who she was. I had known the name, but I really didn't even fully know what she had looked like the first day that I agreed to do the job with her, like for this cover mm-hmm. in New York.
We kind of skipped from growing up in the Bronx to your master classes.
Yes.
So fill in between, how did you even get to meet Kim? Because I know you're not classically trained makeup artist. You learned everything on your own.
Yeah, well, I assisted as well. After high school, I wanted to go to college, but basically my dad was like, what are you going to do? I said, well, I want to go to Miami, because I just felt like I wanted to go away from the family. And he said, well, absolutely not. He said, well, we don't have the money for that. And so kind of like to rebel, I was almost like, now as an adult, like when I look back, I almost feel like I was happy, even though I was mad. I was almost happy because I was like, okay, well, now I can go find the job and like, you know, find something and do something. I didn't know at that time what I wanted to do. I was almost like creatively frustrated because I was so inspired by certain things like symmetry and art and design and all the things I didn't have as a child growing up. You know, I grew up in a basement apartment. There was no beauty. You know what I mean? There was no decor. There was none of that stuff. You know, there was no beautiful landscaping, nothing. And so all of those things, since I was a little child, I would seek that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I would ask my dad to drive me to Westchester, you know, because I wanted to see the lawns and the flowers. And I would beg my mom to take me with her to clean apartments because she did that as a second job. She cleaned the building for L'Oreal for many, many years. And then she also did side jobs cleaning people's homes. And so nothing excited me more because I wanted to go into their homes and I would see all of the beauty and the artwork and the design. And I would see all of that stuff that was just, to me, was like, wow, like, you know, one day I'm going to have this too, mom, you know. After high school, I went and with my mom to look for a job. And I had gone to all these places like Armani Exchange, just all the retail stores, thinking I'm just going to find a job and I'm going to have some freedom now and, you know, no more school. And I walked into Sephora. It was a brand new Sephora. It was like the first store, I think. This was, you know, almost 20 years ago. It was 2000. And I remember it had revolving doors and it was in Rockefeller Center. And, you know, we were walking by, I don't know what lured me in. It was almost like a force because I don't remember at that time. I didn't know what Sephora was. The windows were tinted, so I didn't know what was inside. But I went through the revolving doors and we went in and there was this music. And then everyone was wearing these black suits with these black gloves. And it smelled so delicious to me because I always loved fragrance and wanted fragrance. Right. You know, they couldn't buy me fragrances. But like, I loved it and I wanted it always. And my mom, the first thing she said when we walked in is, no, 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 mommy. She goes, no, no, this is not for you, mommy. She goes, and she turns me around the revolving door to pull me. And I said, no, I said, I want to go in here and I want to look. I want to see.
And you were 18 at the time, you
17.
Think? 17.
Yeah. I went and I looked around and I went upstairs, I remember, and I saw all the skincare and then I saw all the fragrances and then I saw all the makeup. But really, it was more initially the fragrance, I think, that was sort of, and the smell of the place and also how chic everyone looked in those black suits. I just thought, like, I want to be in here. And I applied for a job. They never called me back. And so, of course, I was adamant that I had to work there and that these people had to give me a chance because they don't know, like, how, you know, I'm a good person. Like, they're going to love me. I'm a hard worker because I had been working since I was 12, literally since I was 12, packing bags and Bronx Zoo and restaurants. Basically, I was financially independent from the age of 12. And I think I went to the library and I researched the company Sephora because I kept calling and they wouldn't answer my calls. And I found there was a woman named Marie Christine, I believe her name was. She had blonde hair, and she was in France. And somehow I got in touch with her, and she picked up the phone. And I said, "My name is Mario, blah, 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 and I really want to work at this store." And I went, and no one's calling me back, and I just want them to give me a chance, whatever. And I don't know what the hell I said to her, but maybe she thought it was cute. I don't know. And she said, "Yeah, I'm going to be in New York next week." And she said, "We're hiring for a new store." She said, "Maybe you would be good for one of the locations." Mm. And I went in. I'll never forget. It was such a big deal.
So did you meet her? You ended up meeting her?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know where she is now?
Yes. I asked recently. She still works for the company, but she's in France now.
Does she know that young boy that she helped is now you?
I'm looking forward to seeing
her.
At that time, she was so, I mean, she was the epitome to me of French glamour and power. And she was, you know, I remember that when she would come to the stores, everyone, you know, would be on their best behavior and everything had to be perfect and sharp and clean. And so to me, she was that figure, very intimidating. And
cool.
I'd love to see her right now. I went into the interview and I put all this cologne on, Dracar Noir, because that was what my dad used. And I had like an open shirt, I remember the buttons down, like a little Guido, you know?
Right.
Because that's what I sort of saw and that's what I knew in the Bronx. And my hair had a lot of gel in it and thin eyebrows. And she sort of looked at me, I remember like kind of like a little smirk. And she said, "Okay," she said, "we're going to hire you as a fragrance consultant and you're going to go to a training that's going to be a few days in a hotel, blah, blah, blah." So I went, I did that. I was so excited. And the first day of work that I was on the floor, you know, excited to sell my fragrance now and thinking, you know, because I wanted to learn everything about fragrance. I wanted to know what I was talking about, you know, to know what I was telling the customers. But really what they did was they put me at the front door with a basket and to say welcome to Sephora 100 times a day to every person that walked through.
Yeah.
Me and this girl, Karina, who actually is one of the only ones I'm still really close with. And one day, you know, actually the first day, they had at that time, Sephora collection used to have like 500 different colors of lipstick and they had a specific packaging and all of the colors were like so unique. There was yellows and greens and blues and everything. And a woman was sort of in an end cap because I could picture it exactly where she was right near the entrance. And she said, "Excuse me, can you please help me choose a color?" And for 1 second I hesitated, but then I was like, no. And I went right to her and I was like, sure. I think I just like picked a color that I thought was, you know, not crazy and that I thought was pretty. And she tried it on. And she goes, "I love it." She goes, "Thanks." I don't know exactly how to explain it, but I had found in that moment that, oh my God, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do makeup. There was also a thing with like all the makeup artists in that store. I sort of looked up to them in a way that I knew that they made a little more money than everyone else. And I knew that they were so cool and I knew that they were fashionable. And and so I wanted to kind of, in a sense, be like them. But really what it was me sort of finding my creative outlet of what I didn't know my entire life. You know, I thought I was going to be a teacher. That's what all I wanted to be.
You are a teacher, Mario.
I am. Well, okay. I know. I still feel weird saying
you
it.
You are a teacher.
I'm a makeup artist and an educator. Yeah. I feel like I can't say I'm officially a teacher until I get a degree.
you know, obviously that's something that would make you feel good getting a degree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did go to college, by the way. I went after, I want to say, 4 or 5 years of working. Once I had sort of moved out of my parents' house.
And you were still at Sephora at the time?
No.
How long did you work at Sephora?
So Sephora was, I want to say, like a year and a half, 2 years.
Okay.
Maybe 2 years.
Yeah.
And because I went to another store and then officially as a makeup artist, once I had been promoted to a makeup artist. And then, you know, the brand started to come to me and recruit me. And Carol Shaw, Lorac of Lorac Cosmetics, it was not her herself, but it was Pamela who worked with her for years.
It was one of the early makeup artist founders.
Yeah.
Really.
Carol Shaw was, she was pretty up there in the store. Remember, because when I think back of like where all the brands were positioned, I don't think you were in the stores.
No, we weren't there yet.
We were department stores. Pamela sort of recruited me. And I became, I guess, unofficially a regional makeup artist for Lorac, where I went to all of the Sephoras in New York City, mostly, a few days a week. And I loved sort of selling makeup as well. I never looked at that part as bad because I looked at it as, you know, I was helping someone.
Right. Well, you're a guy that has such passion for what you do, whatever you do that has to do with makeup.
Yeah. And I remember when I look back, there were moments that I can really clearly remember of me sort of selling or moments where I got compliments, let's say, from the store managers and they'd be like, whoa, this kid, like his sales are insane, you know, because I think I raised the sales for that company in New York by a massive percentage. For me, I loved that whole part of it too, the business side of it. Because I knew I was helping people and then also the art side of it as well.
Well, how'd you get to California then?
Well, I live in New York, so.
Right. Oh, you never lived in California? Oh,
no, I did. I lived in California for 3 years and that was after I met Kim, like a year.
So tell me how you met Kim.
After retail, I went sort of fully freelance. I had assisted Billy B, you know.
Sure.
I assisted Isabel Perez, who is the assistant of Fran Cooper. And Fran Cooper was like, to me, like, I mean, her work was so
amazing.
You know, that sort of porcelain doll. Right.
Is she still around?
Yeah, Fran is still around. Yeah, she's still working too. Huh. She's incredible. So I only met her, I think, once or twice. But Isabel, so much of the stuff that I still do today was what I learned with Isabel.
Right.
She was so open and
free. I don't know her.
Isabel Perez. She's a Dominican makeup artist, and she was the first makeup artist to take me under her wing. So I met Kim because a photographer friend of mine called me and said, hey, can you do this girl named Kim Kardashian? I really need you for this. You'll be perfect for it, for a magazine called Social Life. It was a Hamptons magazine or something like that. And I almost said no. I think I was working at that time 2 days a week at Fox News, doing the anchors there for income, just so like I didn't have to stress and worry that I had to pay my bills. Mm-hmm. I was still building my portfolio, and I had just joined with a new agency who was sort of grooming me to become a very elitist makeup artist. I got with this sort of more, I guess, fashion agent who, you know, was sort of trying to groom me and position me with very high-end photographers.
Right.
And I had started doing some celebrities at that time. Gina Gershon, I remember I was working with, and Natasha Bedingfield, and, you know, like artists and actors. And I met Kim.
And what was your style at the time?
I had assisted Kabuki, who's a very high fashion, very, very high fashion. We were on the set of like all the big fashion campaigns for like every day. And I assisted, he was the last person I assisted. Very critical point in my career, I think, because I had been yearning and searching for that. No one gave me a chance in the fashion world because I was this little kid from the Bronx, you know? And I would go to the agencies desperately trying to assist one of the fashion makeup artists, one of the big ones. And finally, like, Kabuki's agent called me. And it was the non-traditional way. I didn't go to an agency. I had just sent a cold email. Several months later, I was standing in a store and his agent Chuck called me and said, hi, I'm calling for Kabuki. We'd like to know if you're available for Italian Vogue tomorrow. And I pooped my pants, basically. I remember my friend Raphael was there and I started screaming when I got off the phone because I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, he finally called. And I did that for 2 years, not full time, just whenever he needed, which was quite often. Now, what I learned from him, he couldn't be any more different of a makeup artist, but what I learned from him and what I took from him, first of all, was that he made me feel validated in a way that that industry and that world never did. I felt a disconnection with that world always, and it bothered me. And he made me feel accepted in that world and valued because I was a damn good assistant, Bobby. Like,
I'm sure.
I was really good. I learned the things that I still think about today every single day, things that I saw him do and products I saw him use.
Like, what are some of the things you learned?
You know, the theatrical products, how to cut a crease, like all the kids are doing today. And I actually just spoke to him recently for the first time in, you know, I don't know what it is, 15 years or so. And we had a really great conversation.
And is he aware of what you've become and your successes?
I think so. I mean, I didn't ask him that, but, you know, he said
I mean, it's hard not to.
He said that he was really proud of me. And you know, we weren't sure why we had left it off, where we just stopped talking and stopped working together. But it provided me, like, tremendous closure.
Right.
You know, and I really needed that.
Well, it's good to keep your mentors in your life.
Absolutely.
It does make you feel good.
You know, like,
your teachers.
We've just recently, everything's been changing. I told you, everything's been changing in my life recently. And Isabel, I just recently reunited with. I was at my master class in New York, and I walked out on stage, and I locked eyes with her the second that I walked to the front of the stage, and I lost it in front of everyone. And she started crying.
Aw, that's so sweet. Well, before I go into now, I want to still, you know, what is it like working with the Kardashians? Because how many years? You've been with her 12 years.
Yeah.
You are so well known. You are so well loved, so well respected. And you're known for creating the Kim Kardashian look and empire. So what is it like? I mean, I can only imagine. I've met her once briefly at a fashion show. I don't know her. I never met Chris. I don't know any of them.
She's almost like my little secret guardian angel. I think had I not had her and had she not come into my life and had there not been that connection where she loved my makeup so much. For me, Kim is, let's put it this way, because I've been trying to figure this out myself for years exactly and how to word it properly and how to put it, this feeling that I have. And I think that now as I'm older and I'm starting to realize everything and how, you know, I suppressed a lot of stuff my whole life because of my culture and I have held things inside and not allowed my real sort of feelings and also my real purpose and stuff to come out. I've just been very guarded and extremely professional too and just always so careful to not be in drama and to not, you know. Kim is we have such a similar soul, but she is so the opposite of me in the sense that she is so not suppressed. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? She's so comfortable and she's right. So, and she owns her power and she owns her beauty and she, all of those things. Mm-hmm. But her soul as a person is what I connect with, right? She's such a good human being and she's such a sweet person. And our start in the industry and what sort of she did for me was so authentic and so... It was literally just her being excited, like, oh my God, I love this kid's makeup. And mm-hmm. I want to put pictures on my blog and show all of my followers. You know what I mean? Because she did have a following back then that just was growing day by day. That girls were obsessed with her body. Right. Had I not had Kim to have someone so close that you touch their face and who doesn't care about the haters.
Well, she must care about them, but she deals with it.
I mean, I don't know. I don't really talk to her about it, but yeah. She's not one that's going to be fazed by comments or like care that people are like making negative comments because she's controversial, right?
Right.
People don't know the real Kim, obviously, mm-hmm. to me. I, you know, and so I'm protective over her to a fault in that I get so upset when people say things about her because I know the true her.
Yeah.
And so it's almost like I feel this pressure always to prove to people that I got to prove to people, I got to show them somehow
You feel protective of her. I'm brother.
Incredibly protective.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you as close to the other girls or is it really Kim is your...
Kim is my girl, obviously. Yeah. But like for me, it's I'm not close with Kylie and Kendall mm-hmm. because they were a different generation. Yeah. They were really, really young when I started with the family. But like with Courtney, Chloe, Kim and the mother, mm-hmm. I'm, you know, Chris, there's a certain sort of love there that is really extremely strong.
Well, I'm going to ask you about Chris and either now or after because I'm obsessed with her. I just think as a businesswoman, what she has done is nothing short of epic.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing. So
her and Kim and all of them, to be honest with you, are such, I've never seen, I don't think I'll ever meet people that are more mentally strong and stable than them. Mm-hmm. It showed me in a way that things are possible and that things that you maybe have never dreamed of are possible.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
What does your kit look like? I've never actually, is it changed constantly? Mm. How do you store your makeup? How much makeup do you have?
A lot.
You have a lot.
My kit's about 70 to 80 pounds is what's what I travel around with. And it's heavy, the kit, you know, but I am a creature of habit and I know what I like and I go back always to what I like.
Right. How much do you mix and how much do you just use it right out of the palette?
I mix almost everything.
Yeah.
Almost everything. You know, there's a color that in my head or a texture that I'm envisioning. And so I over the years, obviously with experience, you know, I become better because, right. and by no means do I think I'm an extremely talented makeup artist, by no means.
Oh, come on.
For me, it didn't come that quickly, the talent. Like I had mm-hmm. to, you know, I grasped really well when I was assisting and I could watch them and I could almost, I knew what it was they were doing. They didn't have to tell me. I understood mm-hmm. why they moved the hand a certain right. way and understood why the brush went on with a certain pressure. And that's why I've become a better educator, I think, mm-hmm. as well, and a better makeup artist.
And how much of your day-to-day is a hired makeup artist and how much is it on business? Like, how do you kind of split it up?
That's hard for me. It's a balance that I'm trying to still figure out because I don't ever want to lose the part of me that is the makeup artist that does clients and that makes these women feel beautiful. But what has happened over the years with the emergence of social media, initially I shied away from it. I didn't want attention. I felt uncomfortable. I was insecure. I felt weird speaking in public. I didn't want any of that stuff. And with the emergence of what we were talking before with those photos and the contouring and all that stuff, you know, something happened and it was all of a sudden, I feel like I woke up one day. I remember the first day that I posted a photo and I was nervous. It was just a picture of my face, you know, but I just remember one day sitting in one of my apartments when I was on 76th Street and my agent calling from the Wall Group and just something about Contour King and or some brand wanting to hire me to fly somewhere to do this event, you know, where I would be contouring and teaching contour. And I started to rebel and I started to tell them, like, I don't want to hear the word contour. Don't ever call me Contour King. Do not allow them to call me Contour King. I don't want to be known for that. It's going to ruin my career. It's going to, you know what I mean? And it wasn't until something clicked and I said, well, wait, they're all calling me Contour King. So it's out of my control now.
Do you contour?
I contour when it's appropriate.
Right. Do you ever do someone's makeup and not contour?
All the time.
You do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I have certain clients where I would never even think about it. You know what I mean?
So what makes you want to contour when someone has what?
It is that type of makeup that inspired me, mm-hmm. You know, that was my first look into the makeup world when I assisted Isabel. The process of the transformation for me, but also, you know, there is a time and a place for that. There's a need for that type of makeup.
100%. Do you think contouring works on day-to-day makeup, like walking around the streets?
No, not fully. No.
If you're not Kim,
Kim wouldn't do it for that either. I mean, Kim is a celebrity. She's the most like heavily photographed woman in the world. Right. And so we're talking about, you know, when I do Kim's makeup, it is done so precise.
And how long does it take you to do her makeup?
They always allot like 2 to 3 hours, but it's not just makeup. You know, like, you know, she has kids and you know, there's things going on and business and, you know, she's getting the hair blown out. And so altogether, it takes like 2 hours, maybe a little more. Mm-hmm.
My team gives me 30 minutes. Okay, guys, for hair, for makeup. I'm like, guys, I can't do it.
No, you can do it.
For hair and makeup and getting dressed?
Maybe not for hair. Maybe not for hair. There's a time and a place for it. Not everyone knows how to do that makeup. And I know how to do that makeup really, really well. I have to say, I never say stuff like that, but like, I know how to do that glam makeup, the chisel, the transforming makeup. I always tell my students, it's hard to explain, Bobby, but I always tell my students, I show them the whole thing, the whole entire transformation. I let them, allow them into my head, almost like giving them a piece of my soul, because every time I pick up a brush or I do something, I make sure that they fully understand. And I'm very sensitive to energy. I can almost feel if someone in the room doesn't understand. And so I explain it another way until they get the aha.
And how many people are in this room when you teach your master classes?
A lot. It started with 16 and, you know, now it's gone up to over 2,000 per class. But
how do you please 2,000 people learning and your things sell out as quickly as you put them out?
It's something that grew naturally and authentically. It's something that I even tried to hinder the growth of, that I tried to stop. You know, I would kind of cap it at, you know, I remember at one point before my sister came along, I was capping it at 100 people because I'd get a venue for 100 seats and I'd say that's it because I was doing it all myself, the sponsors and getting the gift bags and the, you know, going crazy basically. And
why wouldn't you do a digital masterclass?
I haven't figured out yet the way to do that. And to be honest, Bobby, I could do that and I could probably take a break for a little while
because it would
reach a lot of people that are not able to come to these classes.
Uh-huh, right.
And there have been investment firms and people for years trying to get me to do this. And I just won't because I haven't figured out a way that I could truly teach. Right now, I can only do it fully, 100%, to know that they actually have understood it in person because I feel it.
I don't think I've ever heard a bad word about you, I have to say, like from industry sources. Not a bad word.
Thank you.
You know, and trust me, when people are prima donnas.
You know, it's easy to get caught up in this world, Bobby. I almost thought today when I was in the gym, I was wondering, like, have I ever gotten caught up? Like, had I ever actually gotten caught up where I lost sight of what the purpose is in life? And I think I did at one point. When I thought about this time when I did that show Glam Masters with Kim. You know, she was the executive producer and she put me on it. So I felt totally confident going on it because it was her show. I just remember like stressing and being so insane and crazy about having a spray tan and having the hair without one hair out of place and losing weight and making sure my clothes were perfect. And I was so stiff on that show. And I think now when I look at it, it's almost comical of like, what a disaster to me when I look at it. I mean, people loved it because they were like, oh my God. I think I got caught up maybe around that time in that I was like thinking too much about all these things that right now, this moment, sitting here with you, like I don't give a shit about.
There's something really amazing that happens when a person becomes comfortable in their own skin.
Yeah.
Every single person out there at some point hopefully will figure that out.
Yeah.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
What is it about that whole glam makeup and the contouring and all that stuff? I always tell makeup artists it's important to know how to do it, mm-hmm. and it's going to make you a stronger artist
right.
if you know how to do
yeah.
it more strong. But what is it with you that you? I feel like you have a
distaste.
Huge,
oh, yeah. I do, and I've been very vocal about you know you don't need to contour. I mean, my audience are real women. My audience are not the people going on the red carpet. My audience has always been you know the woman that gets up in the morning's got kids and has to get to work, and maybe she has a party at night, and she takes good care of herself. She has really good skin. That's like always been the Bobby
right.
person. So no, when they're like, should I contour? Well, if you're going to contour, you're going to look like you have dirt on your face.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to look good. And also I'm, you know, my thing has always been like when I was in middle school, I never thought I was pretty. I never thought I was smart. I never thought I was all of these things that my friends were. And I really had bad self-esteem about the way I looked. So when I would do my makeup, and my first time I ever had my makeup done, someone did my makeup and they said, let me show you how I can contour your nose because your nose is too big. And I had brown lines down my nose and I felt bad about my nose. Let me show you how to play up your eyes because your eyes are really small. And she did that not very well. I felt my eyes were bad. And your skin is too yellow, so let me show you. Your cheeks are too this, your lips. And I literally was made up and I looked awful and
not yourself.
Not myself.
Yeah.
The fact that someone was telling me what was wrong with me, when I washed my face, I was like, I was pretty cute. You know, seventh, eighth grade yeah. or whatever, high school, yeah. whatever I was, I'm like, I looked like Ally McGraw. You know, yeah. it wasn't my look. my mission in life is to help people feel good about who they are.
Yeah.
It's not an anti-contour the way you contour your women. It's an anti-contour the way I was contoured and the way that I see other women feeling bad about themselves.
Yeah. The way I approach it, I mean, that's interesting. But I love that you stuck to that and that is your philosophy and that is your, and I respect that you are adamant about it.
I don't know any better. I would love you to teach me how to contour. Honestly, I would literally love to come as a guest to your masterclass
and
learn.
Well, you have to.
Learn.
The next one, yeah.
Seriously. I mean, you know, a one-on-one wouldn't be bad either, but I would love, I mean, I'm a makeup artist
loves
to learn.
If I launch the YouTube, then we have to do a video.
No, I would love
on
to.
My channel.
Oh, I would love to.
So when I approach it, this is how I approach it in the class, is that I always tell them right before I begin, because to be honest with you, when I started being called the contour king and all that stuff, I only really contoured with a bronzer at that time. It was just to add warmth.
But I do that anyways. I do that when I do makeup. I take my, which is kind of a pinky tone bronzer on me because I have very yellow skin, and I use it and I kind of gently put it everywhere and put a little bit more in certain. I'm not contouring, but I'm kind of creating how the skin should look.
Yeah.
And it's hard to teach other makeup artists how to do that.
Yeah.
I've not been successful.
Yeah, it is hard.
Yeah.
It is hard. But it's important for you, for all of you artists, to know how to contour and to know how to do it correctly. But it's more important, I always say, that you know when not to contour. And this I also started to realize recently, because when I think back on my career and how everything happened, I guess I feel a little responsibility with, you know, with Kim that we put this look out there, right? Mm-hmm. But what happened after that was it quickly took its a life of its own. And, you know, the brands and the retailers and everyone started to, you know, it literally created like probably a $1 billion category.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. And the second I left the brand, they started putting contour on every single palette because I wouldn't let it happen when I was there.
Yeah. I love that. I got to talk to you about all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think what happened was it started to have a life of its own and people almost started to do it for like a shock factor and people started to do it so extreme to where it was, you know, a lot of times comical, you know.
Her look has evolved and your makeup has probably evolved since the beginning.
Yeah.
When you saw the line on the pencil, like things
actually,
evolve.
I never used to do the line on the lip. Now we actually do it. She likes it now. Yeah.
I use her lip liners. I like them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love
them. And I bought the shimmer palette I like, but I have to have the lightest hand because it's really high intense.
Yeah.
For daylight. But I love it.
Maybe
the four
just
colors.
With your finger.
Maybe. Yeah.
You know, with a little moisturizer.
And it's honestly the most fun I'm having is using everyone's makeup because for years when I was at the brand, I only used mine.
I always find that it's so inspiring whenever I introduce new makeup into the kit because I get stuck on the same things a lot. But like, you know, it really inspires me and I do these different things. I was telling my assistant, I said, I hired you because I felt that you would, you know, sort of come in here and put all this new stuff in my kit because I get all these packages every day. I'm like, I think I just want to have bags on the table. But I want to turn around. I don't want you to hand me things. I want to turn around. I want to look through my bag and pick something.
Yes, yes, yes. You know? I get it. Trust me.
Yeah.
That was the best thing that happened because when I used to do shoots, I used to have like 5 makeup artists assisting me. And now I have 1 person. I started doing it even by myself. So there's Mario, the makeup artist.
Yeah.
Mario, the businessman. Mario, the son. How does Mario, the person, process? Like, what's your technique when you need to just, like, take it down a notch?
I'm trying to figure that out, Bobby. I've been very, very bad at that because of the amount that I travel in my career. Because, for example, I live in New York and Kim lives in LA. And so because I do all these other things and projects and I'm working on all these things for the future, and I try to be there so much, you know, as much as I can to be there for her because I know that I think in my mind that it provides her some sort of comfort or happiness, you know, being there for her. And so I get exhausted because I'm getting old, you know, not old, but I'm getting
older. You're older.
I'm getting older.
You're not 20. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I've been sort of struggling a lot with letting go a little bit, not being such a control freak and delegating more things to people without me having to be involved. And even on my way here this morning, it's crazy that we're doing this conversation because it's like so much happened this morning already, you know. I looked at Mitch, the assistant. I said, you know what, Mitch, I want to be taken off of all these emails. I said, I'm just going to leave it up to you and to Fonda. And I said, I don't want to have to, you know, oversee every single thing of things that I don't need to be looking at. Another thing happened today, which I would have never talked about this ever in my life, but I'm going to just talk about it. I had an appointment today scheduled for, I think it was 2 or 3 for my, you know, so basically they press this, all these needles in your face and they puts little tiny amounts of filler and Botox and vitamins and all that stuff. And I don't know why it was causing stress because I couldn't find the time to go and to make the appointment. And this morning I look at the calendar and I see that appointment And I just like started texting the woman, and I just wrote her this long thing, and I sounded probably like a crazy person. And I said, you know what, Laura? I said, I don't want to come in today. I said, I realize it's not going to make a difference if I do or not. I'm not sure why I'm trying to go. And oh, because I received that honor from the influencer awards from her artist achievement. And so I was thinking like automatically, well, I have to do this. And I have to get my face and I have to my hair. And I realized this morning, I'm like, I don't give a damn.
No one's going to notice that you did it or not. Yeah. But, and you know what? You're overscheduled right now. I've been there. I've done it. I get it. And you just need to like nurture yourself.
But this is the start. So, you know, I realized and I told her, I said,
Your skin looks amazing though. I might have to ask you for who you see, but
she's amazing. Laura Dyer. Okay. And she, and I realized like, you know what? I'd rather be home laying on the bed at that time. Cause I have like 2 hours and just sort of like working on something that I love or you know, catching up a little bit, eating and not rushing and
being a person. You might feel tired, but you don't look it and you actually look really healthy. How do you take care of yourself and what kind of diet and what do you eat?
I have my days that I give up and I eat, you know, fries and things like that. But, you know, to be honest, when I'm in the hotel, I'll order chicken salad. You know, when I'm home, I have my spots that I order from. I'm a creature of habit. If I don't have to be somewhere, I don't leave within a 3-block radius of my home ever. I order from a place called Muscle Grill when I'm feeling like I want to have a wrap, you know, that's healthy. But I've been more conscious to eat clean. The only time I really like let loose and eat whatever is when I go to my mom's home when she cooks for me and stuff. That's when I don't even question. It's just the culture that I miss and that I crave. And it's the groundedness that I feel when I'm home. None of this stuff. I always refer to it as this stuff, you know, the Instagram, the followers and the monetary things and all that. Like none of that exists when I'm in the presence of my family and my mom. I love that feeling of just not having to worry about any of it. It's been the only time that I felt so grounded and one with the earth itself. Yeah. But I've been, again, recently feeling that now, not just at my mom's house, but just in general. I do feel fully like a fully grown man who knows what he wants and who knows what he deserves and who knows what he stands for.
I'm really fascinated about Mario in the next 5 years. Do you have any visions? Because I kind of do.
Here's the deal. I don't talk about it much. And it's always, and I think it comes from this fear of like, oh my God, is someone going to mess it up for me? I'll tell you a story. When I went into Sephora, right? And I knew that my mom didn't want me to do that job. And I knew she was going to be embarrassed of me. Before I had finally made that decision of like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to take it seriously. I'm going to go to the library. I'm going to research everything know everything I need to know and do every step that I need to take to be, in my mind, it was just successful. That's all I knew back then. It was that it had to be successful to show mom. And I looked around the store and I saw the names, you know, Vincent Longo and Stila. And it was a moment where I locked eyes and I sort of had an aha moment that, okay, that is my chance. That is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to show mom by doing that. And so I worked for 20 years to make sure that I earned that and that I feel deserving to do something like that, because that's a big deal to me. To put, you know, my name on product and to put it into stores around the world and around the country, that to me is something I do not take lightly. And I want to make sure that when I do that, that whoever is buying it or whoever is thinking about buying it doesn't have to ever question or go to YouTube to get a review from someone, because I want them to be assured and to trust 100% that I did the work for them and that I'm giving them something that is the very, very, very best quality. For me, I could not do that unless I had at least 20 years of experience as a working artist. I'm on my 19th year right now. A few years ago, I did begin to slowly learn by myself, cold calling the labs and manufacturers and walking in, meeting people to learn everything that there was that I had to learn about this to make sure I wasn't doing things blindly. I'd been offered starting 7 or 8 years ago, really big deals and really like lots of money to do things. And, you know, I knew in my heart I wasn't going to do them. And thank God I didn't, Bobby, because I wasn't ready. I don't know what I know now. I didn't know back then what I know now. What I'm learning now and what I'm knowing just naturally right now at this age is life-changing for me. And it has given all of this the meaning, like the pure meaning and purpose. And none of it is really monetary. And none of it is, you know, it's about something way deeper than that. But I'm bursting. I'm bursting inside because I have been planning and I have been dreaming about, you know, doing something, and it might happen.
We will all stay tuned to that. But my last thing is we have a speed round. Number one, what's your skincare routine?
Neutrogena face wash, and then I mix between Tatcha supple cream or dewy skin cream. I have this new cream, Augustine.
Me too. It's so funny. I brought you one.
No.
I brought you one.
I just requested a few of them because I am obsessed.
So funny. Me too. And I asked for a bunch so I can give to my, you know, my friends that I thought would love it.
Oh, I would gladly.
I have it. I have one for you.
See, I never
so
get excited
funny.
about packages, but like if it's something
if it's
I love
something
like that.
I know. What was the last thing you ate?
A protein bar right here in your studio.
What makeup item does everyone need?
I have to say right now, because I'm a little biased, but the collab that is going to be released soon of Kim and I, because I worked so hard on that.
What is it?
It's a KKW and Mario Part 2. It's called The Artist and Muse.
Right.
And it's a collection of a palette and some lip and cheek products.
Oh, cool. No, I have one, so I cannot wait to see two. Who's the last celebrity that you did their makeup?
Kim, like 2 or 3 days ago when I was in LA.
And is there any celebrity that you haven't done that you're dying to do?
You know what? I always wanted to do Michelle Obama so badly.
Oh, I got to do her makeup
you
a couple
did?
Times, yeah.
Wow. She's
the coolest.
You know, I read her book a few months ago, and after I read the book, and it just gave me the urge more to want to do her. I don't know. I have like I'm so proud of her in this weird way, even though I don't know her.
See, I got lucky once or twice where she needed someone in between something, and it was petrifying, but it was really cool.
I can imagine.
And I had 15 minutes, by the way.
What?
I had 15 minutes.
When was this, though?
It was definitely the last term.
Yeah.
When it was, she had something in the city. She was coming in from D.C. She had to get on stage in 20 minutes. I was like sitting in
Bobby, she goes pretty heavy with the makeup. I mean, she's fully contoured. What did you do?
I was in a bathroom and she came in and I said hello because I had met her before. And she said, I'm really sorry for the rush. And I just started throwing things on her face.
Wow.
And I asked, you know, my assistant to take a picture of me and her. And she did. And we didn't check the camera and it was black. But the best picture ever taken of me was you. When I was at Yahoo Beauty and you came in and you took a picture of me and you. I don't know what you did to that thing. You're going to have to teach me how to do
that. I probably put one of the brightening
filters. Something.
Filters,
I was like, I never look so good in my life.
So wait, are you still out there doing makeup a lot?
I am.
Just out of pure love for makeup.
Because that's what I love. Honestly, if you ask me how I want to spend my day, it's in a studio. And I own a photo studio, by the way, in New Jersey. So we rent it out. But I constantly have. I have a table full of makeup. I have clothes and
hashtag goals. Mm. One of my future goals is that I can do makeup, but not have to rely on it or depend on it to live. You know, I see myself working with Kim forever, but like not for money. That I just want to do it because it feels like home to me because I love to create.
Right.
But that's awesome.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.